Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Night in Our Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Life at the Bottom by Theodore Dalrymple in its 25th anniversary edition. Revisits a provocative diagnosis of social breakdown drawn from the author's experience as a prison doctor and psychiatrist working among Britain's most marginalized communities. Rather than focusing primarily on economics, Dalrymple argues that culture, habits, and moral expectations shape life outcomes, and that many modern institutions unintentionally reward self-defeating behavior. The book blends social commentary with case-based observation, aiming to show how family instability, addiction, violence, and petty crime become normalized when standards of responsibility and self-restraint erode. Dalrymple challenges common narratives that portray the underclass solely as victims of external forces, contending that ideas about rights, suffering, and entitlement can foster grievance while diminishing agency. Even for readers who disagree with his conclusions, the book is designed to provoke serious reflection about welfare policy, education, criminal justice, and the everyday ethics that hold communities together. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a clinical vantage point on social collapse. Dalrymple's central method is observational rather than statistical. He writes from the standpoint of a physician working in prisons and public hospitals, encountering the recurring patterns of injury, addiction, violence, and psychological distress that cluster in deprived neighborhoods. The book uses that vantage point to argue that social breakdown is not only a matter of money or opportunity, but of daily norms that shape decision-making. He emphasizes how repeated encounters with the same behaviors across many individuals can reveal a shared mindset impulsivity, short time horizons, a sense of grievance, and low expectations of self and others. This approach highlights how institutional settings such as emergency wards, court systems, and prisons become revolving doors when underlying conduct does not change. Dalrymple also illustrates how professionals can become habituated to dysfunction, treating symptoms while accepting the broader pattern as inevitable. By foregrounding lived encounters, the book asks readers to consider the moral and cultural dimensions of poverty and crime without dismissing material hardship. The clinical lens is meant to expose the human cost of reduced responsibility, including the suffering inflicted on children, partners, and neighbors who live amid chronic instability. Secondly, the worldview behind the underclass, agency, blame, and entitlement. A defining claim of the book is that a distinctive worldview can form in communities where disorder has become normal. Dalrymple argues that many people trapped in destructive cycles interpret their lives through narratives that minimize personal agency and maximize external blame. In this account, misfortune is seen as something done to them by society, employers, institutions, or abstract injustice, while self-sabotaging choices are reframed as inevitable or even rational. He links this to a strong language of rights disconnected from reciprocal duties, producing expectations of support without a parallel commitment to self-discipline or care for others. The result, he suggests, is a culture of entitlement and resentment that makes constructive change harder because personal responsibility is experienced as humiliation rather than empowerment. Dalrymple's discussion also touches on how the search for dignity can be redirected into status contests and performative toughness when legitimate sources of pride, such as work, family stability, and skill, are scarce. Readers are encouraged to scrutinize how ideas about victimhood, authenticity, and self-expression can become excuses for cruelty or negligence. The topic is controversial, but it frames the book's broader argument that values and interpretations, not only circumstances, shape outcomes. Thirdly, family breakdown, relationships, and the inheritance of chaos. Dalrymple devotes significant attention to family life, arguing that instability in relationships is not merely a private matter but a social engine that generates future dysfunction. He describes patterns of absent fathers, transient partnerships, and conflict-ridden households, presenting them as both causes and consequences of an underclass mindset. In his view, when adults treat relationships as disposable and parenting as optional, children absorb a lesson that commitments are fragile and rules are negotiable. That lesson then echoes in school behavior, peer violence, and later intimate relationships, creating an intergenerational loop. The book also examines how sexual behavior and reproduction can be detached from long-term responsibility, contributing to households under stress and to children growing up without reliable boundaries. Dalrymple argues that public systems often step in to manage crises, but cannot replace the everyday formation of character that stable families can provide. He does not present family stability as a sentimental ideal, but as a practical structure that limits harm and encourages foresight. The topic pushes readers to consider the cultural messages transmitted through entertainment, education, and welfare arrangements, and whether society has become reluctant to name behaviors that damage children, even when the evidence of harm is visible to frontline workers. Fourthly, violence, crime, and the normalization of disorder. The book links petty crime and everyday violence to a broader cultural acceptance of disorder. Dalrymple suggests that in environments where aggression is routine, the threshold for cruelty falls and intimidation becomes a tool for status. He describes how alcohol and drugs amplify this dynamic, but insists the deeper issue is moral, a weakening of self-restraint and empathy, paired with an expectation that others will absorb the consequences. This topic also explores how interactions with the criminal justice system can reinforce cynicism. If punishment is inconsistent or framed as oppression rather than accountability, offenders may interpret consequences as proof of persecution rather than feedback to change. Dalrymple argues that the victims of this world are often the poor themselves, especially law-abiding residents, women, and children who suffer from theft, assaults, and harassment. He invites readers to question policies that prioritize offender narratives while neglecting community safety and the quiet heroism of ordinary people trying to live decently. At the same time, he challenges a purely carceral response, implying that enforcement without cultural renewal simply manages decline. The focus is on the moral ecology of neighborhoods, how disorder spreads when boundaries, shame, and informal social sanctions disappear. Lastly, institutions that inadvertently reward dysfunction. A recurring theme is that well-intentioned institutions can accidentally entrench the very behaviors they aim to alleviate. Dalrymple critiques aspects of welfare provision, education, healthcare, and professional culture, arguing that these systems sometimes lower expectations, excuse misconduct, and treat adults as children. When benefits and services are structured without clear incentives for responsibility, he contends they may reduce the pressure to plan, work, or maintain stable relationships. In healthcare and social services, he suggests that an overly therapeutic mindset can reframe vice as illness in ways that remove moral agency, while still failing to produce recovery. In education, he questions approaches that avoid discipline or that dilute standards, leaving students without the skills and habits needed for employment and self-respect. He also addresses how bureaucratic language and professional risk aversion can obscure blunt realities, making it difficult to speak honestly about cause and effect. The point is not to deny compassion or the need for a safety net, but to argue that compassion should be paired with moral clarity and practical expectations. This topic invites readers to assess policies by their real-world incentives and cultural signals, not only by their stated intentions. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in social policy, criminology, psychiatry, education, welfare design, and anyone trying to understand why some communities struggle, even when significant public spending exists. It will also appeal to readers who value cultural criticism and moral philosophy applied to everyday life. The benefit lies in how Dalrymple reframes persistent social problems as questions of agency, norms, and accountability, urging readers to look beyond purely economic explanations. Even if you reject parts of his argument, engaging with it can sharpen your thinking about incentives, the unintended consequences of institutions, and the difference between compassion that restores dignity and compassion that infantilizes. Compared with similar books that rely mainly on abstract theory or large-scale datasets, Life at the Bottom stands out for its vivid frontline perspective and its insistence that ideas and behavior matter. It is worth buying because it challenges comfortable assumptions across the political spectrum, forcing readers to confront the moral dimensions of policy choices and personal conduct. As a 25th anniversary edition, it also invites reflection on whether the trends it describes have worsened, improved, or changed form, making it a useful lens for current debates. If you would like to support Theodore Dalrymple, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.